tuned to yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, horror. Later on, we hear The Nightman on Suspense. But right now, it's The Witch's Tale. This from Macquarie Syndication in Australia. Heard on March 18, 1937, adapting the American script, first broadcast on October 5, 1931, and two more times throughout the 30s. It's The Boa Goddess by Alonzo Dean Cole.
Witch's Tale. The fascination of the eerie. Weird, blood-chilling tales told by old Nancy, the witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat. They're waiting for you now.
Year-old I be today. Yes, sir. 122-year-old. Well, Satan, tell folks to douse all lights and we'll be getting down to business. Right. Nice and dark and cheery now. Just the way we likes it when we tells our bedtime stories. Now, draw up to the fire and gaze into the embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll see a land of jungles. For we're going into Mexico, to the place called Yucatan. There the grass and vines is so thick and tall that whole cities are in among them. Dead, forgotten cities. The old Indians used to live there long before the white men came. Soon we're going to hear three white men talking in the jungle. And so begins our yarn about the Boa Goddess. The Boa Goddess.
You think, Morgan, that we are getting close?
We ought to be, according to that picture writing Mary Ann gave me. Hold up the torch, Dutch.
Yeah. I don't see no flat stones yet that you said we got to find.
If that girl had only come along to show us, we wouldn't have to fool around like this.
You have been among these Indians long enough to know their women cannot come on sacred ground.
If she's the high priest's daughter, you'd think she'd take a chance on the taboo, especially with her loving me the way she does.
She has taken chance enough as it is. If we find what we seek and get away into the jungle, they will know it was by her aid. Then, her life will be...
Zut. What of it? She's only a squaw. Still, Marianne is a cute little trick at that.
You got such a sense of humor, Morgan. Every time you call that Indian girl Marianne, I got to laugh.
Shut up, you fool. If they should even find us, you know what will happen.
Keep your shirt on, Frenchie. It is kind of comical, Dutch, but I call all my girls Marianne, and not being able to speak this one's lingo, I don't know her real moniker anyway.
Quiet, be careful.
We're safe enough. Every man in the village is out in the jungle for that ceremony they're holding.
Yes, a ceremony which proves how much we have to fear. For out there tonight, they will let a boa constrictor crush a man to death.
Listen. Three beats on the drum. That means they're getting ready to kill that fellow now.
Yeah. God, if my folks back in Jersey knew their darling boy was living among a bunch of Yucatan Indians who just made sacrifices to snakes, they'd turn over in their graves.
After 3 months among them, it is still difficult for me to realize that we have found a lost tribe of Aztecs living as their fathers did 600 years ago.
It was lucky they found us when they did. Another day lost in that bush, we would have been dead.
That is what makes me dislike this thing we do tonight. These people save our lives. They took us in. And now, We plan to rob them.
I hope Frenchie Rainial of Devil's Island ain't developing a sense of gratitude all of a sudden.
I may have served time on Devil's Island, Morgan, but I, like you, am not wanted in Ecuador for murder.
That's because you never had the nerve enough to kill a man, you yellow skunk.
You're not going to talk to that...
Morgan, Frenchie, we cannot quarrel.
You're right, Dutch. When we get what's underneath them three flat stones, it'll take all three of us to fight our way back to civilization through that bush. Ah, forget it, Frenchie.
You are sure we will find emeralds in that temple?
I've already shown you the little ones Mary Ann gave me, and she's told me in her sign language there's big ones where we're going.
If it were not that all three of us are needed, as you say, to make escape, I wonder would Dutch and me have heard about them.
What are you...
Stop that. Look, Morgan, Frenchie, here is three flat stones.
This is the place. We found it. Now, don't try to lift them. There's a trick to it. She showed me in the picture writing. You push the stone in the middle, and I got it. Look at that.
A passage has opened.
The temple's underneath. Come on, down these stairs.
Wait. I do not like this place.
What's the matter?
I don't know. It's just a feeling that has stirred me.
I feel something funny, too.
Both of you are yellow. Give me that torch. I'm going down these stairs.
You can't call me yellow.
Then prove you're not. Come on.
It is dark down here. Morgan, hold up that torch.
We don't need it in a minute. According to Mary Ann, this passage takes a sudden bend into the temple proper, where a fire's always burning. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, it is light.
We have reached the temple.
Oh, mon Dieu.
My God.
Good Lord.
Up the stairs for our lives.
Quick, before it's...
Wait, you poor dumb idiot. It's only a statue.
A statue?
Yeah. But it had me going for a minute. It's so natural looking, I thought it was a real honest-to-God snake coiled up to strike.
You know... It is an idol, the image of the boa goddess.
Hold up that torch, Morgan. The stone snake has a woman's face.
Marianne told me the truth. The idol's eyes are emeralds.
Bigger ones than I have ever seen.
And where the snake's body joins the woman's face, there is a necklace.
More emeralds.
We shall be rich.
Rich! Millionaires! Let me climb up there and get them. Hey, what was that?
A drum.
It sounded as you touched the fear.
There ain't no one with a drum in here. This is just a big, bare room.
There it is again.
It is a warning. We are in a sacred place. You must not defile a holy image.
Bunk. Hand me your knife, Dutch.
What are you going to do?
Cut off that necklace and pry loose them emeralds.
No.
Oh, that's what we came here for, you fool. Here goes.
Again, that drum.
Morgan, come away. A curse will fall on us if you take those stones.
Quick, Morgan, there is something funny in this place.
I'll go when I get these stones.
No.
It's all right, I got them. Look, those from the eyes are as big as eggs. I'm rich.
Let's get out of here, quick.
All right, I've got all I want now, and I'm a millionaire. A millionaire.
Up these stairs. Let's get away.
Wait, listen.
This, Sammy, it... seem to come from inside the snake itself.
And it struck three times.
Yes, three times. Like we heard it in the bush outside. It means the boa goddess will take soon a human sacrifice.
Guys whine like a pair of old women. We got away from the Indians all right, didn't we? And with another day's chopping, we'll be out of this jungle and safe in civilization. Forget that hooey about a curse and something following us.
We are not out of this jungle yet. And there is something following us, Morgan. I feel it all about us in the bush. It's something I know is death.
Your grandmother.
Well, I am like Frenchie. I did not like those drum beats when we left the temple.
Are you guys dumb enough to think a heathen statue of a big snake with a woman's face can really do you any harm?
It is not the statue, I fear. But the thing it stands for. people's thoughts and their beliefs. Listen, Morgan. All gods are the same by different names. For how many centuries, we don't know, an intelligent race has worshipped and feared that great snake we have insulted, Hui.
3 times the drum beat, like before the boar goddess takes a human sacrifice.
Since that's what's troubling you fellas most, let's figure the drum was calling Mary Ann. Them Injuns have probably finished her by now. Too bad. She was a cute little trick, even if she was only a squaw. Well, there's one easy way for you guys to clear yourselves if you think there's a curse on them emeralds. You just don't have to take your share.
No, you don't, Morgan.
Aye, you would like to cheat us out of them.
I thought that'd bring you to time.
It's too hot to do any more traveling till night. I'm going to grab a few winks.
Your turn to scare up some grub, Frenchy.
All right. Give me your pistol.
Nix. I've only got 2 bullets left. You can bring down a couple of birds with your machete.
You're not saving those 2 bullets for something in particular.
What do you mean?
When we are out of this jungle, you will no longer need Dutch and me to help you.
You think that I
will... I will not argue that point. It does not matter anyway. I go hunt for birds.
That French stirbug's crazy as a loon.
Maybe. Why are you saving those 2 bullets, Morgan?
Say, you don't think I'm planning anything against pals like you and Frenchy, do you? Forget it. There's emeralds enough for the 3 of us. I'm rich. Inside of a month, Dutch, I'm going to be sitting in the swellest hotel in New York. I'm going to become a gentleman, join highfalutin clubs, and go in for society and live like a king. Yeah, live. That Frenchman gives me a pain talking about death following us through the jungle, all on account of a couple of drum beats you heard in a heathen temple.
Morgan, the drum is here.
It can't be. Gee, you got me hearing things.
3 times it beat, just like that night.
Oh, it don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
Frenchy!
Something's got him. Look, a boa constrictor.
Get out of those coils, crushing out his life. There is a curse. It's striking now.
I won't believe it. The jungle's full of snakes. He just happened across a boa's path. Run, Dutch. Run before it comes for us.
Ain't you going to try to save him? You got a pistol, Morgan. Shoot.
I'm saving my 2 bullets. Leave him there and run, you fool. Now we can split his share.
Yeah. We split his share of death. For he is just the first of us to go.
I don't believe in that stuff.
Then look. Look back, for the snake has turned its head.
Say, it has a face of a woman.
Yeah, the face of the boar goddess.
Run, run, run!
Sure, young fella. I'm not stuck up like ordinary millionaires. I'll be glad to give your newspaper the true story of how me and Dutch got here to New York.
I'm certainly much obliged, Mr. Morgan. You realize how interested the public is in the man who owns the largest emerald on Earth.
Yeah, but I don't want the papers printing no lies about me. Don't you be like those other fellows who wrote that I'm a nervous old man because they saw me pacing up and down the room like I'm doing now. And don't you say I'm afeard of anything count of me always looking over my shoulder and jumping at funny noises. That is just habits of mine. And don't you dare write there's a curse on my emeralds. There ain't no Indian curse.
Of course not, Mr. Morgan. That sensational stuff that you object to was all printed when a flash came in through Associated Press. Seems 2 madmen had stumbled into a little settlement in Yucatan with a pocket full of emeralds and a story of a 3rd man who'd been crushed to death by a boa constrictor with a woman's face. We couldn't pass up a yarn like that, even though we knew it was ridiculous.
And it was ridiculous. 2 men have just chopped their way out of the jungle. They're apt to say anything. You're right, that stuff was all a lie. Don't forget to print how I tried to save me dead partner Frenchy when the big snake got him, though. But don't say the snake had a woman's face. It didn't. That was imagination. And there ain't no curse on my emeralds. None that can reach beyond the jungle, anyway.
What was that, Mr. Morgan?
Nothing. Just talking to myself. The jungle makes you do things like that, young fella. It's great to be home in a city again. No snake can follow me to a big town like New York.
You've spoken of your partners as Frenchy and Dutch. Will you give me their proper names, Mr. Morgan?
Frenchy's dead. Oh, if I could only forget the way he died. Oh, excuse me. The name I knew Frenchy by was Jean Renal. And Dutch's real moniker is Adolf Appelman.
Adolf Appelman?
Yeah, he beat it out west of Chicago as soon as we hit the USA. He ain't nice to you reporter guys like me and don't like his name in the papers. But you can print he don't believe in no curse neither.
Mr. Morgan, haven't you seen this morning's paper?
Not yet, I just got up.
What a story this'll make. No one dreamed he was your partner.
Say, what's the matter with you? What are you doing at my telephone?
Hello? Get me Wells 292915. Look at that front page, Mr. Morgan. Read those headlines.
What?
Last night in a Chicago hotel room, Adolf Appelman was crushed to death. Every bone in his body broken. Hello? Hello? Give me city editor.
It can come further than the jungle. Them drum beats I heard last night was not a dream.
City desk? Get this, whopper of a story. The guy crushed to death in Chicago last night was a partner of the bird who is...
I'm next.
Look here, Mr. Morgan. You may have discovered $1 million worth of emeralds in South America, but that gives you no license to come here to Chicago and try and tell the district attorney's office how to run its business.
But I gotta know what killed Dutch. Why did you have his body cremated before I got here to see it?
For one reason, because his wife ordered it done after the inquest.
His wife?
You've already been told that Appelman was married to a Miss Smith a few hours before his death. Another reason was... because the body was too horribly crushed to serve any real purpose as a clue to the method of murder.
Crushed. Crushed like Frenchy. But you say it couldn't have been a snake that done it. You swear it couldn't have been a snake.
My dear Mr. Morgan, despite the wild newspaper theories, boa constrictors do not crawl promiscuously around Chicago. And if they did, there could have been no way for such a monster to have entered or left Mr. Appelman's room.
No. And no way for it to come here from the jungle. Where was Dutch's wife when it happened?
Out of the room at the time, she says. But no woman on earth could have crushed your partner as we found him. If that's what you're driving at.
It ain't. I was just wondering if she'd seen anything. If I could only know the way he died.
Come in.
Excuse me, sir. Mrs. Appelman to see you.
Oh, ask her to come in. Now, Mr. Morgan, you can talk to her yourself if you like.
How do you do?
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Appelman. I'm sure you'll be glad to meet your poor husband's former partner, Mr. Morgan.
We have met.
That's funny. I feel that you and me have met someplace before.
I meant the Dutch had spoken of you.
Oh, I see. But your face is somehow familiar. What was your name before you married him?
My first name is Mary Ann.
Mary Ann?
Poor Dutch has told me it's the name you prefer for women, Mary Ann.
To think I'd finally fall for a skirt whose real name was Mary Ann.
How startled you were when I first told you that was my name.
Yeah, hit me like a voice from the dead. Not that a squaw matters, you understand? But you knew, even before I spilled the beans about how we got the emeralds and all.
Yes, I knew. Dutch had told me everything.
I don't know what I'd have done without you since Dutch was killed. A man needs someone around so he won't be all alone to think things. After we're married tomorrow, it'll be better still. Only I wish you hadn't made me to wait a whole year. Yeah, a year. Nothing's happened to me. I always knew that curse was just a bunk.
You have no fear at all anymore?
Me? I never was afraid of anything. My hair turning white and me losing weight like I have is just from a rundown condition, the doctor says. Yet if I only knew how Dutch was killed and the explanation of them drum beats and... I can't get out of my mind the way I saw Frenchy go.
You have explained it all perfectly naturally to me 100 times. You have no real faith in heathen gods, you know.
No, of course not. Only but... it was all imagination. The boar I saw in the jungle did not have a human face. That's an awful way to die, like Frenchy Marianne. Do you ever see a man killed by a boa? It wraps itself around him, coil on coil, doubling and tripling its own strength, and its eyes look into his and fascinate him till he's dumb and helpless. And then slowly the coils tighten until the bones crack like pipe stems, and the flesh becomes like putty, and he only screams once, just once. Oh, I can't die like that. I won't die like that. I'm rich now. I become a gentleman. I'm crazy about you. I want to live. Oh, you don't believe in curses, Marianne. You don't believe a crawling thing from the jungle can reach me even here?
If I believed in the curse, I would believe neither distance nor civilization would have power to stay its vengeance.
But you don't believe. Tell me you don't. Say like me. You think it's all bunk.
Yes, I say it like you. Isn't it fortunate we can tell ourselves such things? It's so terrible to be afraid. Were I a god who wished to punish hard for a long time before I struck, I would make my victim fear.
I say, don't talk like that. Sometimes you make me afraid because I don't know what you mean. But it'll be all right when we're married tomorrow. And then I'll have you to talk to all the time and learn to understand you.
You haven't forgotten that for my wedding present, I shall have the great emerald you took from the Aztec temple.
Yeah, like I promised. Then, with the other the Dutch gave you, you'll have the two greatest emeralds in the world. The eyes of the boar goddess.
It will be nice to have them.
They'll match your own eyes, Marianne. For they're green, like the emeralds. And they fascinate me. Green and deep, like the emeralds. Like the eyes of the boar goddess. Everybody's gone and we're alone. You're my wife now. Kiss me.
Wait.
Oh, you mustn't keep your husband waiting. A year I waited for you, Marianne.
You shall wait but a short time longer.
No other woman has ever put me off like you have, and I'm crazy about you. Nutty about your eyes. They fascinate me. Green like emeralds. Why didn't you wear your emeralds? The eyes of the boar goddess at our wedding.
I shall wear them now. For you alone.
Are you going to put them on? Well, that's swell. God, I'm like a kid with you. When I finally fell for his skirt, I fell hard. And I won't be afraid no more now, for you'll be always with me. You won't leave me on the wedding night like you left Dutch a year ago.
I will not leave you. I did not leave him.
If you hadn't have left him, you'd have known what killed him.
I do know what killed him.
Then why ain't you never told me? Say, what are you talking that way for? Why are you standing there with your back turned to me? What you doing, Marianne? You seem to be growing taller, thinner somehow. Say, what are you doing? Turn around. Let me see you. Let me look into your eyes.
Look.
Them emeralds are your eyes.
Yes.
You're
the boa goddess.
That drum. It means
I claim my final sacrifice.
No. I can't move. Only stare into your eyes. And your body's lengthening, changing into a monster snake.
Soon I will coil around you.
No.
Fold over fold. And you will only gaze in my eyes and whimper. Only when my coils tighten will you scream just once.
No.
Then will I give you your promised kiss. The kiss of death for the Marianne who was only a squaw.
Oh.
I begin to coil.
Oh, so cold. No, I can't die.
For gain you defiled a people's faith. I bind your feet. For gain you betrayed a people's hospitality, I bind your arms. For gain you destroyed a woman's love and life, I bind your heart. For this you have been left the last of the three. Today, as you yourself love, as after a year of mortal fear, you aspire to happiness and peace, today I coil about your worthless soul and crush!
And that's the story about the boa goddess, the queen of all the snakes. Well, Satan and me have business to attend to now. Important business, Satan. Near midnight, Satan.
The Witch's Tale on Tuned to Yesterday from March 18th, 1937. It's an hour of horror on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. We move right on now to suspense. Radio's outstanding theater of thrills delivers a broadcast called The Nightmen from early in their CBS run from October 26th, 1944.
Suspense. Tonight, The Nightman, starring Virginia Bruce and Richard Wolff.
Warden Gray.
Yes, Miss Rhodes. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you. I hate to disturb you like this, but I've traveled clear across the country. They wouldn't give me the information over the phone.
I know.
You know what this visit is all about, Warden.
To some extent, yes. You think one of our prisoners, Tom Nixon, has escaped.
He has escaped. I'm as sure of it as I'm sure of sitting here now. I saw him at large in New York City 2 days ago.
You knew Tom Nixon well, Miss Rhodes?
Knew him? He was my mother's murderer. My mother was Mrs. George Rhodes of Huntington, Long Island. She ran a boarding house there. He killed her on September 18th, 1936.
We have all the records of the crime, Miss Rhodes.
Tom was Mother's chief boarder for 10 years. Know him? Why, I sat opposite him at dinner table from the time I was a girl of 15. I knew him as well as I knew Mother. I'd know him anyway.
I see.
And now he's at large. He's free. Somehow or other, he's escaped this place. Maybe you're not aware of it. Maybe even his fellow prisoners aren't aware of it. But he's wormed his way out. And he's after me. He's after me.
Oh, now, my dear young lady.
Warden Gray, 10 years ago, when Mother was found murdered, I knew it couldn't have been anyone but Tom. I testified against him. I was the chief, practically the only witness at the trial. And when they sentenced him here for life, he swore to kill me. He swore in the open court to get even with me. For 10 years, I've lived in deadly fear. Watched the newspapers for prison breaks. I've moved from house to house, made few friends. He's hung over me like a shadow. Even though I told myself he was locked up here. Locked up here forever. And now it's come.
And where exactly did you see the prisoner, Miss Rhodes?
That's just the point. That's why I know he's after me. I saw him in my own apartment house.
Well.
He has a job there, running the elevator at night. It makes it so horrible. I've never married, Warden Graves. I live all alone in a small 3-room penthouse on the 18th floor of an office building. The other night, about a week ago, I came home alone from the movies. After midnight, the big marble lobby of my building was deserted. Except in a far corner near the elevator, with his back toward me, there was a man, down on his hands and knees, scrubbing the floor. Good evening.
Evening.
Everybody. Isn't the elevator working tonight?
You want to go up in the elevator, Mum?
Certainly.
I'll be right with you. Okay, Mum. What floor?
I was in the elevator. And it started to ascend before I really saw him. It was Tom. His hair had turned white, and there was a horrible stoop to his shoulder. But everything about him, the crook of his head, his high, thin, bony nose, the hollow cheekbones were all the same. And then he turned and stared at me. I could see those deadly, pale, cold eyes Those heavy eyebrows, still black. That familiar, quiet, sarcastic mouth.
What floor, Mum?
Oh, my floor. Yes, the penthouse, please.
Penthouse? Where's that, on the roof?
Yes, on the roof, please. 18th floor.
Okay.
Warden Graves. It was being like, being in a cage with a wild beast. He kept watching me, peering at me furtively as the elevator moved with agonizing slowness up and up past the floors. I shrunk back, averting my face. The light in the car was dim. My only hope was that he did not recognize me.
Here's your floor, miss.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. You can go back down. I don't need anything, thank you.
What's the matter? Forgotten your door key?
No. No, it's just... It's right in my bag. I'll find it in a minute.
You want me to let you in?
Let me in? No. No, good Lord.
I got pass keys to all the doors. No trouble.
No, thanks, but I... No, no. No, I have it right here. Good night.
That was the first time you saw him?
Yes. Oh, I wanted to die. I didn't know where to turn.
And that was all he did or said?
Yes, but it wasn't so much what he said as the awful resemblance. The feeling that he was only playing with me, torturing me like a cat with a mouse. Warden Graves, I didn't even have a phone. I've always been afraid to be listed in the phone book. And the only way up to that penthouse was by that one elevator. I was trapped up there, at his mercy whenever he wanted to come.
What did you do?
I spent the night crouched against the wall with a flat iron in my hand, waiting for that key to click in my lock.
And the next morning?
The next day, I began to wonder if it all wasn't just a dream.
Good morning, Miss Rhodes.
Good morning, Gallagher.
Lovely weather we've been having. Lovely, dry and brisk, but not too brisk. Not overcoat weather yet. No, not overcoat weather yet. I was only saying to Polly this morning.
Gallagher.
Yes, Miss Rhodes, yes.
Who's that new night man running the elevator? The one who came on last night?
Oh, Foley? You mean Foley, Miss Rhodes? Why, that's Charlie Foley. Nice old chap, ain't he? Very friendly and obliging, too. Treated me to coffee this morning before I came on.
Charlie Foley?
Yep, that's his name. They're very partial to the Irish here in this building. Gallagher, Foley. But he's a nice, trustworthy chap, Miss Rhodes. Honest, too. Good morning, Miss Rhodes.
Good morning.
Forget something, Miss Rhodes?
No, no. Just about this Mr. Foley. It's just that he's rather odd-looking. I was wondering where he came from, and if he's perfectly all right.
All right. Let me tell you something. He was personally recommended by Ellsworth, Hitchcock, Pearson, and Scott, the owners of the place. And that's the first time that's ever happened in my experience. Don't you worry about him, Miss Rhodes. He's a good man, member of our union, and married with two children. Believe me, would the owners recommend a man?
Well, it all sounds like a foolproof alibi, Miss Rhodes. And so you went back?
I didn't want to, even then. I spent the day hunting for another apartment. But you know wartime New York, Warden Graves. There wasn't another apartment to be had. I let myself be convinced until that night when I saw him again.
Good evening, Miss Rhodes.
Called me Miss Rhodes. There was a cruel, sarcastic smile about his lips. The kind of smile I'd seen him give to Mama.
You think he recognized you then?
Recognized me? Warden Graves, I haven't changed. Perhaps I've grown a little thinner. Don't you see? He'd come there only to trap me. He'd taken that particular job, part of steam.
Here's your floor, Miss Rhodes.
It's only a question of when. When he was going to do it. When the axe was going to fall. He kept grinning at me as I stepped out of the elevator.
Good night, Miss Rhodes.
Good night.
Excuse me, Miss Rhodes. There wasn't any answer to my ring.
What do you want? What are you doing here?
It's your laundry. They told me to put it inside the door in case you weren't home.
My laundry? But you knew I was home. You just brought me up.
That's right. Excuse me, I guess I must have been thinking of something else.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Miss Rhodes. Very sorry.
That's all right. Good night.
It was a crazy mistake. There I was thinking you could get up here some other way. But there isn't any other way, is there?
No.
Even the service elevator doesn't get up this far, does it? Just like you're all alone here. Alone. On the roof.
Yes. Oh, maybe somebody comes. I'll kill you to hear. I'll kill you with my bear.
What was that, Mom?
Get out! Get out! Get out!
It's my buzzer. I better answer it.
And then what happened?
Nothing.
He came back again that night?
No. I haven't seen him since. I barricaded myself in that night. Once it occurred to me that I might escape by running down 18 flights of fire stairs. The thought of meeting him back in the gloomy darkness kept me back. I didn't know where the fire stairs ended. Perhaps in the cellar, where I would be utterly defenseless.
Too bad you don't have a telephone.
Oh, it's horrible. Next morning, I got down to the public phone and put through the call to here. But it wasn't any use.
That was the day I was out of town.
Yes, but Warden, I still don't see why they couldn't have told me. After all, I was giving them information.
It's one of our strictest regulations at Ossawa Potomac State Penitentiary never to discuss any of our prisoners over the telephone.
That's what they said.
So you came all the way out here in person?
Yes.
And now you wish me to send someone to apprehend this man?
I want you to bring him back, that's all. Back where he belongs.
Miss Rhodes, Tom Nixon doesn't need to be brought back. He's here.
Oh, no, Warden Graves. Please, I've seen him with my own eyes. Talk to him face to face. Maybe there's someone here calling himself Tom Nixon. But he's escaped. He's free. I know it.
Will you just step this way with me, Miss Rhodes?
No, no. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see his cell or talk to anybody or...
Tom Nixon's dead, Miss Rhodes. He's buried in the prison yard. I'd like you to see his grave. And this is the photograph taken of him just a week before he died. You see, he wasted away quite a bit. He was in the infirmary all last year. Became very religious, too, toward the end. Spent a good deal of his time praying.
Praying?
Mm-hmm. All the fight seemed to go out of him as soon as he knew he was seriously ill. But you'd say this was his picture, wouldn't you, Miss Rhodes?
Yes. It's Tom, all right.
Mm-hmm. And these little personal belongings. Ordinarily, we turn these over to the family. But in Tom's case, there wasn't much family. You'd recognize these as his.
Yes. I don't know them all, but that gold watch. He used to wear it every Sunday at Mama.
He wrote a couple of notes before he died to a fellow prisoner and to the prison chaplain. You remember this handwriting?
Yes. It seems to be it.
Well, Miss Rhodes, now you feel a little better about your elevator operator?
Hmm? You must think me a fool.
No.
An awful fool.
Not at all, not at all.
But the likeness was so extraordinary. It was almost like seeing a ghost.
A ghost? Come, come, Miss Rhodes. Snap out of it. Now that you've gotten all this off your chest, isn't it perfectly obvious that that poor night man's done nothing or said nothing to you at all out of the ordinary? It's only that, he seemed to be the victim of some kind of guilt complex.
Guilt complex? I'm not guilty of anything.
Oh, what I mean is, Tom has been on your mind now for 10 years. You testified against him. He threatened you. Gradually, you see him everywhere.
No, only this once. Only these last few nights.
All right. But now you know the truth. That should clear your fears forever. Tom's dead and buried. Now, go back and take a look at that night man again. Now that you know Tom's dead, I'll lay odds the whole resemblance will vanish.
Well, I hope so.
My advice to you, Miss Rhodes, would be to go straight home. Use that elevator as much as possible. Get acquainted with this Foley fellow. For your own sake, try to get the better of these hallucinations. Otherwise, you'll start seeing poor Tom everywhere you turn.
Well, I'll try, Warden Graves. Well, thank you. You've been very kind.
Not at all.
Good evening, Charles.
Evening, Mum.
I have some bags here, Charles. Will you help me with them, please?
Okay. Is that all, Mum?
Yes, thank you. This is for you, Charles.
No, thanks, ma'am. I, never take tips.
It's all right. I'd like you to have it. I'm sure the superintendent wouldn't mind.
The superintendent hasn't anything to do with it.
Well, aren't we going to start?
Yeah, in a minute. Been out of town?
Why, yes, I have.
You've gone quite a while. I didn't see you for 3 or 4 nights.
I was in the country, visiting a friend.
Oh.
Why, it's beautiful weather out there. The leaves are beautiful.
I wouldn't know.
You live in the city, Charles?
Of course.
Oh, isn't it hard to bring up children in the city?
Children?
Yes. Didn't I understand Gallagher to say you had 2 children?
Me? What chance I have to have any children?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm a bachelor. By the way, my name is not Charles.
Well, guess this must be my floor.
No, it's not.
Then, why are we stopping?
The elevator's stuck. Power's been cut off. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, how could that happen? It's never happened before, as long as I've lived here.
Yeah? Well, sooner or later, I guess it had to happen.
Is there some way we can get it back on? Some buzzer for the cellar or something?
If the power's off, the buzzer isn't working. It's a wonder the lights are still on.
The lights?
Yeah. They'll go out in a few minutes, though. Then it'll be black in here. Black as a grave.
Let's get out of here. Open the door.
Can't. She won't budge.
But you haven't even tried.
I don't have to try. We're stuck between floors. The door's flush with a solid wall.
Solid wall?
Yeah. We're kind of bricked up in a cell.
But there must be some way out of here. Isn't there a little door in the roof? Something you can pry open? Something you can climb up out of into the shaft?
I don't see any.
Oh, but there must be. Climb up and feel around before the light gives out.
There's nothing to get hold of. Nothing but steel and mirrors. And I'm not tall enough.
Stand on my back. That's a good idea.
You'll never hold me.
Oh, it's all right. Just hurry. Here. The Gladstone's strongest.
No. Never make it.
Oh, but stand on your tiptoes. Stretch.
No.
Let me try. No, I can't.
I didn't think so.
Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Wait.
Wait?
Wait until somebody comes along downstairs and finds the elevator stuck and then rings up the superintendent.
That might be hours.
Sure.
No! Help! Help! Somebody help! Help!
You're wasting your time. Oh. Everybody's left the building. I know because they've all signed out. This air shaft's thick, isolated. Nobody's down in the basement. And there won't be any passengers ringing for an elevator this time of night.
You seem awfully sure about all that.
Why not? Cigarette?
No, thanks. Do you think it's safe to smoke in here?
Sure. And supposing it isn't? What's the difference? Here, have one. It'll soothe your nerves.
No, thanks. The air's so close.
Jumpy, ain't you?
No. I suppose really there's nothing to be afraid of. Sooner or later, they'll come.
Oh, sure. Eventually.
Just that this waiting, all these mirrors, and being stuck.
You're not jumpy on account of me?
You? Oh, no. No, of course not.
But you were kind of jumpy with me the other night, weren't you?
The other night?
When I came into your apartment unexpectedly.
That was a mistake.
A mistake?
Yes, I just thought you were someone else. A friend of mine. Someone I've always been afraid of.
Oh.
But now I've learned it couldn't be you because his friend's dead. Dead and buried.
Dead and buried?
Yes.
What was his name? Maybe I know him.
Oh! What was that?
Only the light. I knew they'd give out sooner or later.
Oh, no, they said. I can't stay here alone in the dark with you.
So you are jumpy with me.
No, no.
I thought you said this guy was dead and buried.
He is. I saw his grave.
Then why are you screaming like that?
I'm not screaming. Only it's so dark and so close and creepy.
What did you do to this friend that makes you so jumpy?
Do to him? Nothing. I didn't do a thing.
No.
It was he. He threatened me. He was a murderer. He killed my mother in cold blood 10 years ago. He was our boarder for 10 years. And one afternoon... Don't move! Don't move!
I'm not moving. Go on.
One afternoon, I came home, and there was Mother lying on the floor with her throat. No, no, where are you? I can't...
Go on.
No, no, I can't tell it. I can't tell it. Tom! It's you, Tom, isn't it?
I thought you said your friend was dead, buried.
Stop playing with me. Stop torturing me. Tell me the truth. You escaped, didn't you? You didn't die, and it was someone else. Someone else's grave, just as I thought. You escaped and found me here. Answer me, Tom. Where are you? I can't see you. I can't. Ah! Oh, no. No, God. I didn't mean it. I didn't. I didn't mean to send you there. It was only because I loved you, Tom. Loved you so blindly, passionately, for years. And hated Mama. And hated you for loving her. It was only to get revenge on you both that I killed her. And framed you. Mama was so cruel to me, Tom. She treated me like a slave. And all the time flaunting you in my face. Oh, if you'd spoken one kind word to me, Tom, at the trial. One word to let me know you loved me. You're going to kill me, aren't you, Tom? No, no, Tom! I don't want to die! I don't want to die!
Here's the lobby, Mom. You can get out here, or I'll take you back up to the penthouse as soon as we've picked up the other passenger.
What? The lobby? You brought me down to the lobby?
Yes, ma'am.
Then you're not Tom?
No, Mom.
You're not going to kill me? I'm free?
Yes.
Then it was all just a crazy illusion. A nightmare because the power went off and you look so much like Tom Nixon. Oh, forgive me. Please forgive me for being so absurd.
Okay.
And you'll forget about those silly things I said, won't you? I didn't mean them. It was just because I was beside myself.
What silly things, Mom?
Those silly things about my mother and Tom. Now, this is for you. No, no, I insist this time. I insist.
I'm sorry, Mom. But I'm afraid I never accept tips.
Oh, but you must.
Particularly from people... framed my twin brother. Good evening, Warden Graves.
Good evening, Lieutenant Nixon. Well done.
And so closes The Night Man, starring Virginia Bruce and Richard Wolff. Tonight's study in Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Further to intrigue you, we of Suspense present a special preview of our next exciting tale. And here it is, a tantalizing glimpse of our next adventure in Suspense.
Now hurry, will you?
What did you say?
I said hurry.
No.
Oh, I said I put your change and your keys up on the bureau.
Keys?
Yeah.
Mildred, I only have one key.
Well, there are two there now.
I know. Let me see them.
Here, one's the key to the front door.
But the other one?
Doesn't belong to any door in this house.
It's the key to the closet.
What closet?
Last night. It wasn't a dream.
Tommy, what are you talking about?
Mildred, you better call Danny right away.
But he's on duty.
I know, but get him over here right away.
Tommy, what is it?
Last night. I think I killed a man.
And so until our next performance, when you will hear the rest of this exciting tale, we keep you in suspense. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Suspense on Tuned 2 yesterday from October 26th, 1944 on CBS. And that wraps this hour of horror on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for tuning in.